All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast, where we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and Vancouver Island. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and I'm here with my co-host as usual,
Darren Howlett. Thank you, John. And today we're sitting down with Hans Peter Meyer, bon vivant, man about town, centerpiece of the Comox Valley food culture. Everything seems to go through Hans. He has his ear to the ground, hand on the pulse.
Nose in the air.
If you don't know Hans Peter Meyer, he's a local food critic, but he's gotten much more active in the last few years and become more than our local food critic. He's become more of a centerpiece around which a lot of food things are occurring and happening.
Yeah, well, actually, I never consider myself a food critic. People often ask me that, and I would say, well, especially in a place like this, for anybody to publish negative stuff is kind of a risky thing, I think.
Right.
My policy, and I got that from working at Eat Magazine, was, you know, we write about what we like. And the stuff we don't write about, well, we either haven't covered it or we don't like it. And there are places in this town that I don't like.
Right.
And you'll never hear me write about them or give them exposure.
Right.
However, the places that I do give exposure to are places that I really like.
Right. So I
went from being like a food reviewer for years to more recently being involved in marketing, which is a lot of what I was doing. It was like trying to promote what was good about the Valley.
Right.
On the food side. And trying to help people. So there's some interesting stuff happening right now. I'm on the edge of it because I work with the farmers market. I get to see a lot of really cool stuff.
Right.
But I also see a lot, you know, that we have a lot of issues around our food economy here, and that's a bit of the focus of what I'm working on right now.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You're trying to expand it, right, or improve it?
Well, this year. Because I do a lot of work out of town with entrepreneurs,
right,
in a bunch of different areas, but basically I'm always working with people who are entrepreneurs, who have some bright idea and want to make something happen, and are willing to work really hard to follow their passion. So I think that we've got an incredibly rich talent pool here in the Comox Valley. I didn't see anybody using that as a place to grow business or develop our economy. I didn't see them saying, oh, we've actually got a bunch of talented people here or a bunch of capacity. How do we support what's here?
Right.
So in September, with the support of the Chamber of Commerce, I started a speaker series, which was basically about trying to build an entrepreneurial culture, or, you know, try to stir things up. I call it making shift happen.
Right.
So there was a number of speakers. Some of them were about technology. They were all about entrepreneurs. And the event that I'm hosting with the Chamber tomorrow night is about food entrepreneurs.
Right.
So, I've got four people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them really stands out. They're all really interesting. I mean, there are a lot of really interesting people doing stuff. I mean, you're doing interesting stuff, Darren, you know, with your sushi.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you call it a food truck, but it's a food cart or something like that. That's been an interesting place for food culture and food economies to grow in other communities. And so I'm really happy to see a few things happening. And one of them is Manoja Gangodash from Ceylon Cuisine. That they just launched Ceylon Express.
Right.
So that's a mobile Canada's first Sri Lankan food truck, and it's here in the Comox Valley.
Yeah.
And it's, awesome. So it's every week at the farmers market, and they're hoping to be soon at the marina.
Awesome.
We've also got Jason, who you guys know, you know, the Gorilla Food Company.
Right.
Manoja, you know, taking local food and creating frozen meals out of it. And then now he's spinning that off into another venture, which we're going to hear about tomorrow night. I mean, you all know about it. It's the pizza place.
Right.
Anyone who's from Gladstone.
Yeah. And then there's Daniel from Gladstone, which is a... People say, they have food at Gladstone. I said, well, beer, spirits, you know, it's part of the food economy.
Absolutely.
Right? And
it's nice. It brings everyone together, right?
Like, well, it's amazing what's happening there. I actually think that what they're now calling Imperial Square,
right,
is going to be, you know, with Gladstone as the anchor, is going to change things downtown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see people wanting to put their businesses down there because there's a more of a buzz and stuff happening.
Right, yeah.
So Daniel's going to talk about, you know, what they did at Gladstone, which, I mean, I think everybody's heard the story. You know, they thought they had 3 months worth of beer. They sold out in 3 weeks.
Right.
And they haven't stopped. I mean, it's just been...
Yeah.
It's rolling.
It's rolling every day, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, my one of my favorite food entrepreneurs in the Valley, probably someone who has done more, well, she and Trent, to change how we eat and think about food is in the Valley, is Sandra.
Right.
Sandra Viney. So she's going to be talking about, you know, the Atlas Cafe journey, which has been... Was it 20 years in May?
April.
April. So, yeah. You know, happy birthday to Atlas Cafe. 20 years of changing what we do around food here. And, I mean, you're part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, both of you are part of that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I know I've watched, I mean, it was Sandra who actually really encouraged me to start writing about food here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back in 2003 or 2004 for Eat Magazine. And she's just always been in my corner. And I see her being in other, you know, like the both of them being in other people's corners. And, you know, they rolled out Orbit's Pizza.
Right, yeah.
Then they rolled out Avenue.
Right.
Now they're back to Atlas. And I'm quite interested to see what she has to say about that journey and also what the challenges are ahead. Because I know every one of these businesses, I mean, the first three are... They're more in that first flush of...
Right.
You know, they're in their first 5 years, so there's a lot of stuff happening.
What's amazing?
They're all making their challenges.
Yeah. It's amazing how this town has grown like in the last 20 years, because that's really when my cooking career started back mm-hmm. in my days at the Kingfisher Inn there. And so just to see the growth in the customer, the consumer of what right. they're looking for and what they want. So
I think we have a more sophisticated consumer.
Way more sophisticated. People in this town know what they're talking about when yeah. it comes to food, and they've experienced good food. So you can't slip something underneath the radar and let them.
And it's not, you know, I'm going to keep harping on this. It's not just food. You know, what particularly Sandra does and, you know, and Connie at Atlas is service.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's incredible. You know, the service at Atlas is some of the best I've ever experienced. And that's a real issue in the industry. You know, like I go other places and the food can be good and the service sucks. And
it's true.
And when I'm putting out that kind of money, like I say to people, I spend that money not because the food is so great. I mean, I'm happy about that, but it's because I want to be served. That's what I'm paying for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm paying for someone to cook for me, and I'm paying for someone to be, you know, looking after me at the table.
Right.
So I think Atlas does all that stuff really well.
Yeah, I think that I agree. I've worked a few service jobs before, and there's definitely a much higher standard and much higher expectation out of every one of us, from Connie and Sandra, who take care of the front end of the restaurant. And yeah, I love working there for that. You know, there is a standard expected that's above anywhere else. So
yeah. Now the other thing that's happening tomorrow night, and people don't know this is kind of the first public mention of it, is there's going to be a little bit of a surprise announcement at the end of the evening.
Oh.
So, you know, the context for me is, you know, let's, you know, celebrate what some of these food entrepreneurs are doing and hear their story and stuff and hear about their challenges. But also the bigger picture of, you know, do we actually have the kind of food economy that we think we do? Like you talked about customer, you know, people's expectations about what they're going to get from a restaurant is way different than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
But I think we've also created a bit of a bubble around that we actually have a vibrant food culture here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running a restaurant in this town, it's tight. Mm-hmm. It's really tight.
Mm-hmm.
If you're growing food here, it's really tight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why is that? You know, why can't we step to the next level? Why, when we have actually huge demand for local product, do we not have enough local producers willing to or able to step into that commercial, that level of commercial production where they can service that kind of demand?
Right.
So the surprise speaker is going to make an announcement about basically a huge opportunity for local food growers.
Oh.
But the question remains, you know, do we actually have the capacity on the growing side
to support
to support that.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, so look at you. I mean, you had Tannadice Farms in here, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're one of the big pork producers on the island.
Right.
But they really only produce a handful of hogs.
Like right. As he was just explaining, he gave us the numbers there. What was it?
Hoping to get up to 30.
30 a week is what he's aiming for right now.
Right. Yeah. And how much do we in the Comox Valley consume?
Yeah.
Well, he said it's 100 times that. Yeah. Probably, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm curious to know. I mean, I think this is where, Comox Valley Economic Development Society is working on stuff like that. And sad to say, we lost Gary Ralston, who was a big part of that part of the ag scene. You know, he was the ag consultant, and he died of cancer recently, not so long ago. But I'm curious, like, how do we, how are we investing in those things? And, and I know people are saying, we need more of this stuff. And we need more of that stuff. What can we do to grow that?
Right.
I don't know what the answer is. And that's some of the questions that I have for the panelists tomorrow,
Right. Yeah. I know that we had Arzina a few weeks ago. It all rolls together. We had Arzina a few weeks ago, and she was talking about how the Merville...
Organics?
Merville Organics, right. And how she had sort of tried to nurture along a few other farmers that were just trying to get into the farming scene. And she was doing what she could to help get them developed. And I think that's great. I think that instead of looking at, whereas in other industries, you might see up-and-comers and say, well, that's my competition. Why am I going to do anything to help them get a leg up? Instead, she's embracing them and welcoming them in and trying to get them up and started because she knows that the demand's out there. Demand is there for that much.
Yeah, well, this goes back to the series that we've run this spring. One of the speakers actually talked about, we called it Punching Above Your Weight, competing, collaborating locally, competing globally.
Right.
It's like rather than, I do a monthly workshop for local food producers and restaurants and stuff on the same theme. Basically, it's like, how do we collaboratively market what we're doing,
So right.
Even if we're all growing lettuce, rather than seeing that as we have to compete with each other, it's like, maybe we need to have like a lettuce festival, we need to identify an institutional buyer who can buy all of our lettuce,
right.
Rather than thinking that we have to, beat each other up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how do we take advantage of the, you've got an event, how can I work with you or how can I support you doing that stuff?
Right.
So absolutely. And so the fellow who talked about that, Boris Mann, he was looking just generally at any businesses in small communities like ours, and this goes back to, we have a lot of talent here.
Right. We do.
We have people who move here, like you guys you grew up here. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up here, Darren?
I did. And then I moved away. And then I realized the error of my ways and moved back.
Right. So there's, some people like that who are moving back. And then you scramble and you figure, how am I going to make stuff happen here, right?
Right.
So we have talented people here. How do we, support you guys to take whatever it is that you're doing to the next level?
Right.
So it isn't, this is another issue that's come up across all the sectors that I've looked at is... people come here for lifestyle stuff. Then, and I grew up here, and I was away and I came back and I basically made up everything that I've done.
Right.
Because I've wanted to raise my family here. So it's, and also because I just like a lot of change, I guess.
Right.
But it's, we come back here or we decide to move here and we like a certain level of, or a certain lifestyle. And that seems to limit us sometimes from actually doing, what would happen if I went bigger?
Right.
And that's what the second speaker that I brought in talked about. He was a Saskatoon guy, and they had a really successful business. And then they realized for it to actually mean something and create a real living for themselves and the people who work for them, they had to think, on a scale that they hadn't even imagined.
Right.
So it's like, I've asked myself that question, what am I doing, to scale my business?
Right.
I've been pretty happy. We got a nice lifestyle. But, how do I hire my kids? What can I do so that, I've got three kids in Vancouver right now.
Right.
What could I do so that they would actually, you know, might think about coming back here.
Right. Yeah.
To have a real job.
Yeah.
So luckily, you know, like my one daughter who's in design school now, she's doing all of my graphic design. So these posters for these events are from her.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, my other daughter I don't think will ever leave the city. She's actually will be managing three, like a pub, a cafe, and a cafeteria at UBC in the next couple of months. She's been managing Kerner's Pub at UBC.
Oh yeah.
For I don't know, is it 2 years now? But yeah, so she's in the food industry, and but she's gonna stay in Vancouver.
Right.
The other two, I hope come back. You know, what's happening here to bring them back? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, John and I obviously have individual friends throughout the valley and throughout the community too. But we also have a few mutual friends, of course, especially through this show. We've seen a couple of people come through here where, you know, it's not our place at all to say it. But at the same time, we look and we're like, wow, you have a fantastic business. You've got fantastic product, but you're limiting yourself and you could be doing so much more. And if that's truly what they want is to stay in that small scale, that's their prerogative. But you can see that opportunity. They're like, wow, you know, you could be really bringing out Comox Valley, you know, for my selfishness, you could be really promoting the Comox Valley by just going bigger. But for your own benefit, you could be bigger and making a lot more money at this and, you know, doing a great thing here.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues that keeps coming up is with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's lots of people, what you've just described. I call it cottage industry. You know, we're happy. We've got a nice little cottage industry and things are good. But it's not big enough to hire our kids or our nephews and nieces or the neighbor kids at a real wage.
Right.
So we're not growing something that leaves a legacy. So, you know, to go back to the examples here, you know, I mean, Sandra and Trent have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they, with their food business, they've created something that has actually spun off a couple of other businesses.
More than a couple other. I mean, it's not just their own businesses they've spun off, but the people that have worked for them and have you know, been with them have gone off and done so many amazing things. So,
you know, as we speak right now, my kids are outside frolicking around in the yard while we do this interview. They've asked me, when I grow up, do I get the sushi business? I'm like, well, hopefully it'll be a lot bigger than that at that time. But yeah, of course, like that's, if it's there, if you want it, like we will work towards that. My kids are 8 and 10 and you know, I've definitely pulled them into the kitchen at a much younger age than a lot of other people would. They've already realized that the food is going to be their life and they're happy with that, you know?
Right. So the challenge for you and for them is, how do you actually make money at it? Right? That's like I know, as you know, there's a restaurant in town that has a great reputation, and they need some kitchen staff, you know, like not entry level, and they can't find it, you know. And I mentioned this to my daughter in Vancouver, and she was like surprised. She said, you know, XY restaurant can't find somebody. Like there, you think there'd be like tons of people at that level in Vancouver who are looking for a break and also looking for a way to get out of Vancouver and into a different lifestyle. But you know, that's the end. That's that industry. It's like, and it's all the food industries. Like there isn't, where's the money?
Yeah.
How do you grow stuff? So like, how do you grow your business so that you can actually live?
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing that's spun out of these workshops or these series of events is that every month now there's a business development round table, which is the only cost is about $5 to pay for the room charge.
Right.
And whoever is, every month we have two businesses on deck and you get an hour to, you know, describe your business, your challenges, your opportunities. And then the people in the room, we run through a series of metrics,
you
know, your acquisition, your referral, your retention, revenue, it's 5 or 6 of them. And the people in the room, basically, it's like networking on steroids, right? So we each, you know, I may not particularly be interested in a sushi business,
right?
But I've got some marketing smarts, you know, and you might be doing something that I see, wow, if you just shifted this, or there's an opportunity for us to do something. So these have become really dynamic places for people to grow their business. And so, like I said, every week or every month, we have two different businesses. And it's trying to get at that. It's trying to get at that. What you just said, you know, you see people with like an opportunity, and how can they what are they doing around that? Well, we're trying to foster that, you know.
Right.
So, you know, inviting people who have business ideas or who have businesses and they want to grow them to come and workshop it.
Wow, that's great. To be honest, I had no idea that that was the focus of those, and I will most definitely be sitting in on one of those.
Well, the next one's coming up this Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
So if you're interested in coming, you know, so everybody who's at the table basically gets some benefit.
Right.
Like I said, it's like networking on steroids. You're not just passing your card around or your what you do. You're actually trying to help somebody grow their business. And
right.
In the process, you know, potentially building your own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're invited. I mean, it's... you know, there's not a lot of people, and I don't, this is a volunteer thing on my part. It's just
right.
kind of fallen out. And again, it was one of the speakers suggested, you know, just have a once a month meeting of people and try to help each other out.
Yeah, right. That's fantastic.
So that's, and it's, you know, it's not directly related to food, but it's part of the conundrum. You know, it's just, I mean, and Arzina knows this stuff really well. And
right.
You
know. Yeah, well, it's definitely, yeah, you're right. It's not directly related to food, but it is indirectly related to food. This is an important aspect of food in our local, I mean, this whole show, you know, we're what, 70 episodes, something, 70 something.
Up there for sure.
And it's all about our local food scene, and business is invariably a part of that. So,
yeah. If we're not making money doing what we're doing, then it's a hobby.
Yeah,
that's right.
And if we can afford to sustain our hobby, that's great.
Right.
But our hobby is not going to feed our, and it's not going to employ our kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to leave the kind of legacy. I don't think. I mean, you're doing the Edible Podcast series as a hobby, as a
right?
Right.
Yeah, for this sure. is our hobby.
So
for sure.
you've already created a legacy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to my mind, the kind of stuff you're doing and the kind of stuff I used to be doing is the kind of thing that our local economic development dollars should be invested in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there is a story here and people are interested in it and creating content about it, which is what you guys are doing. You know, this is like my marketing thing, right? You know,
right.
You guys are doing content.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a content marketer. I create content and I use it to help promote people. So
right.
You guys are doing the same thing for the food sector. I mean, we're parallel and we have been parallel at times. And it's really important.
Right.
I know. And that is part of the cool thing that's happening in our food scene. There are people like you who, you know, who are promoting, telling
right.
the story, getting it out there. But, you know, are you invited by the, well, I don't even have to go there.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to touch that one.
Okay.
You know, like it's happening at a grassroots level and that's kind of where the excitement is.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I like that fact that the people in this community love what they do.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just, there's a step they have to make to get to that next level, I think. So.
Right.
Well, yeah. And that's the question, you know, do they want to,
mm-hmm.
and why aren't they? Qualicum in a similar kind of boat as us here, which is like an aging population. We're not as old as Qualicum. They're
right.
They're the oldest. So they've got some issues, but they actually have a policy. I trot this out at all every time I talk about this stuff. So excuse me if you've heard this before. They have a town policy to attract and retain young families because they see like their economic future depends on young families being there
right.
to do stuff, but also, you know, like to run businesses and that kind of thing. So I've been doing a little bit of work with some people who are involved in that, and they are creating content around the stories, you know, like, you know, what is the... So, for example, you know, what is, you know, John's story? You know, what's your story? Like, to try to encourage other people to, you know, your age and younger to consider moving, bringing their businesses here or bringing
right.
their talents here to keep feeding. And hopefully, along the way, find people who are that entrepreneurial mindset who go, oh, there's a big opportunity here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, we could grow something big here.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's just down the road. You know, they're
it's on its way.
They're doing stuff that we're not yet doing. And you know, I think we're kinda lazy here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good place to live. But
it's a
we're
good place to be lazy too sometimes.
It is a great place to be lazy. But we're starting to hit some walls around stuff.
That's true.
You know. Like the example of this restaurant not able to find you know, I think it was an assistant chef.
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't that just that restaurant's issue. That's all of our issues. If we're involved in the food industry, and if we're involved in trying to like keep this economy going here locally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
it's true. Yeah,
for sure. So we should just talk back. So you've got this this show. This this is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Monday, June 15th, at the Courtney Museum, and you know, some there's a ticket price on this stuff. Again, some people in town or some organizations are doing business development stuff, and it's free or really cheap. I'm not sponsored. I'm not subsidized by government, so I can't do that. I have to make make ends meet here. So there is a cost. However, if anybody wants to come into any of the programs that I run and finds cost prohibitive, be in touch.
Right.
Okay. You know, I'm I want people in here. I want especially people who are who can be inspired to grow things.
Right.
And what are some of the you had a flyer there with some of the other events that are coming up. So it's just not just food that you're doing here.
Well, right. no, we started with the big picture. We had somebody come and talk about basically how local talent but also local entrepreneurs can access talent around the world using some of these online platforms. He was actually works with freelancer.com.
Oh yeah.
Then we had you know, the next speaker was Jay Esch talking about they run a he's a CEO of a ticketing company, Pick-A-Tick, that is among the top 4 or 5 in the world. They're in they started in Saskatoon. A very interesting entrepreneur story. And his thing again was like, think bigger. Like, so they were big in Saskatoon, but they knew they needed to go bigger. And wherever they went, it was like, you're not thinking big enough. Like, you need to think about, like, global. So,
wow.
Right.
So they're actually doing, so it's a started in Saskatoon. They're now in Vancouver, and their services are used around the world. Then we had Boris Mann, who is, he's the guy who talked about working together, competing globally. He's been working with the Vancouver tech startup scene for years, and he had some. He's from Bowen Island. He knows about small town. You know, the kind of what we just talked about. You know, that small town / lazy kind of like laid back kind of way of doing things. And he knows that there's people who there's brilliant people who want to, you know, make things cook. How do you do that? Then in May we had the first tech entrepreneur panel. So we had a number of people who were doing interesting, different, very, in, you know, forest industry, gaming, software development, some different examples of technology. And then tomorrow it'll be the first food one. Now in the fall, we're already looking at having a bringing in a speaker in September about social enterprise.
Right.
That's a big, you know, there's a lot of that here. There's a lot of people who are doing businesses that that feed more than the bottom line.
Right.
In October, it's I'll be working with the chamber. They're hosting their first tech expo, so it'll be a bit of a trade show thing. And we're probably going to bring back one of our speakers from the spring to talk and do some workshops around, you know, growing the tech side of stuff.
Wow.
And then in November, we're going to do another food panel. It'll be have a seasonal theme. You know, it'll be
nice.
Because that's one of my things is, so I do work with the farmers market.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're, the work that I've done with them has helped them. This is what Vicky has told me, that has helped them grow by 25% in revenues in the last couple of years.
Right.
So, you know, does marketing work? Yeah, it works.
Right.
You know, Is it hard work? No, you have to put time into it, and most small businesses are too busy actually working the business to work on it.
Right.
That's why, you know, I've started this monthly collaborative marketing workshop. It's like, you know, let's pool what we're doing rather than all working independently.
Right.
So that's going to be going on. Like, that's going to continue every month. And that's not on this. Well, actually, you know, like, so that'll be happening. The next one is happening June 16th. So this Tuesday, they're short. They're 2 hours. On Tuesday, we're also going to talk about Instagram.
Right.
You know, so every month there's like a round table, kind of like, what are you working on and how can we support you doing your thing? How can I plug in my lettuce sales to your event? You know, how can I plug in my turnips to your event? We also talk about different technologies. So last month we talked about Twitter. This month we'll talk about Instagram.
Right.
I don't know what's going to come next. I basically just asked people who are there, you know, what do you want to talk about next week?
So, right.
Or next month.
Wow.
So, you know, I've slipped into this thing. I used to do it years ago, what I call community economic development through education stuff. And I'm doing it again. And it's really focused on trying to stir up some entrepreneurial shift here.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. I mean, I was somebody that's more or less grown up here. I mean, I spent quite a few formative years here and raised my family here so far. This community can definitely use that. Like, that's definitely something that we need here is somebody focusing on, you know, really taking entrepreneur or budding entrepreneurs and sort of pushing them in the right direction, or collectively getting everybody to start embracing one another instead of competing against one another. Or...
Yeah, well, like, you know, what I've seen in my, you know, 25 plus years of working in this area, like working on community economic development stuff, is that the typical approach is a top-down one, which is, you know, we'll attract a big industry, you know, like we'll attract something like the coal mine.
Right.
We'll look for something big to come here. And my approach is, and it's not novel, is to, as we round, is going, look at who have we got here?
Yeah, you know, right.
Who's already doing stuff? How do we support them?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do I pour gasoline on your fire?
Right.
Rather than, you know, looking for somebody else, you know, to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I don't know if there's been any one single person that was, you know, what have you. But it seemed to me that ever since, for Courtney at least, ever since the mill packed up and left, everybody's been looking for an outside savior. Everybody's been waiting for something, exactly as you said, some other big thing to come along and boost our economy. And the reality is, it's going to happen from within.
Yeah, and we have done a great job in creating what I call a retail retirement and recreation economy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But those jobs and those businesses are not attract. They're not going to attract my kids back here.
Right.
You know, yeah. they don't have the kind of incomes.
Right.
You know, that's great. You know, I love it that there's a retirement community here. Wonderful.
Right.
You know, recreation makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Retail. I'm not so hot on that one. I think we're way overbuilt on the retail side.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and we've done some damage to the, you know, the existing retail cores, but what else are we doing?
Right. Yeah. I know that's the question. So I think it's great that that you're addressing it and bringing it to light, you know, and I think that.
Yeah. Well, there's some cool opportunities, I think, in downtown.
Yeah.
You know, I would try to think about that strip on 6th, you know, there's Tito's up there, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like a, well, no, then you've, you know, if you stretch it, you've got Edible and Thrifties. Mm-hmm. So Edible has a new owner. I don't know if you guys know that, but it might be interesting to talk to them and see what they're up to.
That would be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Tito's, then there's a couple of food stores, and then all of a sudden there's like, you know, just down the block, there's Ben's Hub Cafe, then there's Atlas, then there's... that old standby, and I can't remember the name. You know, the surf to turf.
Tullio's,
you know,
right.
Which has been doing great stuff, steady
for years.
Decades.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I'm not sure what's happening with the sushi place across the street from there, but there was a little bit of a strip there,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'd love to see some more attention paid to that kind of stuff, like the kind of thing that's happening at Imperial Square,
right?
Happen in other parts of downtown. Like they're trying to do something on Duncan, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I think there's interesting energy.
Yeah.
I think it will in the next few years we're going to see some really good stuff happening.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I drove through Comox yesterday, and heaven forbid, you know, Comox Grind actually turned one of their parking spots into a little outdoor patio. You know.
Oh
like,
yeah.
You know, like you can actually drink coffee on the street, like,
yeah,
oh my God. And they took the parking space away, right? People are so freaked out about parking.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I made a comment on Facebook about it and somebody quipped, yeah, you were driving by because you couldn't find a place to park.
Oh God.
But,
I was just in Edmonton just a couple of weeks ago and I don't even remember the name of the street I was on. And, one of my friends had a business on that street and he had to go back to business, but he's just said, you know what, if you're wanting lunch, just walk down the street and you will find something. And so I was like, okay, sure. And I did. And on every block, it had two patios extended right out onto the street. Just that they gave up one of their parking spots.
In Edmonton?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They'd given up one of their spots in exchange for having like a 14-person patio.
Right.
It was fantastic. It was brilliant. I was like, man, we got to be doing this in Courtney, you know, like.
We got to be doing that kind of thing, and we got to be creating a food truck or food cart friendly place,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because what that does is it brings people to town.
Absolutely,
you know.
You know, another thing too, John and I have been talking about for at least the last year. As the downtown, as Fifth Street starts to become a little more depressed, and I don't mean to rain on anyone's parade. I'm just saying that it's evident, it's obvious, there's no turning away from it, that retail is not doing well down there. And the ones that have managed to stay on, kudos, and you know, my heart goes out to them. I know what they're up against. But there's a lot of empty space downtown right now, and I would love to see a couple of small little restaurants or like unique pubs or something, or just start to fill in that area as those rents maybe become a little more available.
Even pop-up. Yeah. Restaurants.
Yeah, I think it would be fantastic. I mean, if you had, you could have a couple of places downtown, and it changes the perception of what you're doing. You don't leave your house in Comox saying, "Well, I'm going to go down to Tita's," or you leave your house in Cumberland saying, "We're going to go to Atlas." It's now, we're going to go downtown. We'll find something there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that would be great. Yeah. You know, it would change the whole economy down there in downtown.
Then the destination is the downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going like, to that restaurant and just.
Yeah. Or every Friday night. So when I was a kid, way, way back,
right?
You know, downtown, Friday night downtown was like big stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Stores were open till 9.
Right.
That's where everything happened for everybody, you know, especially for young people, but for everybody. So what would happen if every Friday, or even to start with one Friday a month, it was like food cart Friday.
Yeah.
So at 6 o'clock when everybody, you know, 5:30 when everybody else was closing their doors.
Yeah.
The food trucks roll in, and then local merchants are inclined to stay open because there's
now that draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just have that experience of like, I'm going to go hang out downtown and just, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I'm going to go have some sushi at Darren's sushi cart, you know. I'm going to get served by his underage children, you know.
Yeah, no, actually my 10-year-old daughter is like, when can I start working in there? I'm like, years from now, sweetie. Not yet. Oh, years from now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You haven't got them set up with like a lemonade stand with sushi or something.
No. Yeah.
No, but I like this. I had never thought about this before, but just because that would help downtown get some visibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I owned a business downtown at one point, and, you know, special stuff like that brought people.
Yeah.
You know? And if it's around food, it really brings people.
You know? Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So, the blue sky thinking here, all the restaurants that are down there would do the kind of thing you're talking about. You know, they would just take over a parking spot, you know, so Atlas has got like a parking spot and got like, you know, however many more tables out there.
Right.
You know, Ben's at the Hub does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Tulio's already has a video of a patio, but they, you know, like everybody's encouraged to like bring it outdoors.
Yeah. Bring it on the street.
Yeah.
I know that when Mark and Danielle were at Union Street, they did a little bit of that occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That's right.
You know, and it's interesting, like just the kind of the hoops you have to jump through to get that stuff.
But I used to own a building on Fifth Street too, and my hands were absolutely tied in every single thing I did. And I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody that's currently on council. I'm just saying that in the past they made it extremely difficult for me to move forward in any capacity. And I'm really glad to see that kind of thinking is starting to make its way out. Of the
still
council.
Hard. It's still really hard. And then we have the health stuff, you know,
right.
It's like crazy, you know, what to me seems like, you know, onerous stuff around that. And,
permit upon permit.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a place to wrap it up just because we're starting to run a little long, but, thanks Hans for coming in and sitting down with us. And, I feel much more educated. I'm definitely going to check out some of these, this, I don't know what to call them, panels?
It's the We Are YQQ speaker and workshop series.
Right.
So I used the We Are YQQ thing. I ripped it off from an initiative out of Vancouver. It was called We Are YVR.
Right.
It was basically, we are the talent in this place.
Right.
So the world knows YQQ as Comox Airport.
Right.
Right. YQQ. So it's kind of like saying, hey, world. You know, we got stuff. We're making shift happen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should pay attention to us. You should come visit. And doing it from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I have to charge stuff. I charge money for this stuff because I'm not subsidized. You know, I get no government subsidies. But, again, you know, if you're interested in this stuff and cost is an obstacle, then talk to me. I'd rather have you in there than not.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I'm going to make an attempt to try and get out there tomorrow. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so thanks for sitting in with us. And hopefully you can come back again in a little while and we can touch base on all of this.
Okay, great. Well, I'd love to. Okay. I'd love to actually, you know, like when the next, if not before, the next food panel will be in November, and it'll be about seasonal food. And, you know, and I think we should be, if we're going to be buying gifts, I think we should be thinking about how do we buy
local gifts.
Food gifts.
Yeah.
Food gifts. Excellent idea.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Right, yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
So if anyone needs to get a hold of you.
Well, the easiest way around this series of things is at weareyqq.ca.
Okay.
So that, you know, there's contact information at the website there.
Excellent.
Good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Hans.